Okay, good evening, everybody. What a zechus it is to be here on Thursday night learning together. And I appreciate everyone for coming. I'd like to thank our sponsor this week, which is actually my very dear parents, Mr. David and Brian Malitsky, who sponsored this year in loving memory of my father's mother, Ruth Malitsky, Alea Shalom, Rivka Rosa, Bas Rav David Yosef. I know I wrote Ben on the sheet, but Bas Rav David Yosef, whose third yahrzeit is coming up in around a week to 10 days. My grandmother was a very special woman who really epitomized hard work and perseverance. Had a difficult life, but lived it with full bitachon, that everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu does is for our best, for her best. And hopefully the learning tonight, along with everything else that we do, should be a zechus le'ilui nishmasa. So this topic is interesting. It's a little bit different than some of the other topics we've had. The goal tonight is to go through some customs, halachos, minhagim, of weddings, both that pertain to all of us who will go to a wedding, nothing to do with the Bali Simcha themselves, and also things that are relevant to the Bali Simcha, to a chasen and kala, to the parents of the chasen and kala as well. There's a few reasons why we picked this topic tonight. First of all, there are, Baruch Hashem, many simchas in the shul, chasnas, coming up in the near future. There's a lot of pressure here tonight as Jesse Argel is getting married in less than 3 weeks, right?
4 weeks.
Okay, less than 4 weeks. Trying to jump the gun. is getting married soon in Mazel Tov. And Tidal Kramer is getting married on Monday, and Rafi Kreitman in a couple weeks, and the Clares are making a chasna, and the Rabinowitz is making a chasna. Late breaking news, Binyamin Luban got engaged tonight, which is which is really incredible. And hopefully in the zechus of tonight's shir, all those who are looking for a shidduch should find theirs, Bekarov, and all those who are here who are married should be zochet to have incredible shalom bayis, and should rejuvenate and reestablish the simcha they had at their wedding moving forward. Also, this parsha has a bunch about weddings and relationships. We learn about Sheva Brachos, Malei Shavua Zos in this week's parsha. And I would make this joke if my father-in-law wasn't sitting here. But we also learn about relationships with crazy father-in-laws in this parsha. Baruch Hashem, I don't have that problem. But some might. So you can look through the parsha and see how Yaakov Avinu dealt with Laban. So let's start as follows. There's a podcast that's somewhat popular called Headlines. It's a fascinating podcast. And in 2 weeks ago's episode, he had a discussion about conduct at a chuppah. He said he was at a chuppah, and the chassan and kala, the kala is walking down, and he doesn't stand up. And everyone stands up. And the guy next to him starts yelling at him, "Why are you not standing up for the kala?" He said, "Well, how are you standing up for the kala? You just—it's just chukas. It's chukas agayim. You're doing that because go to YouTube and look at a church wedding, and they stand up for the bride, and that's why you're doing it. So why are you yelling at me?" I had sent him an email because I had seen a source the other way, and I want to discuss a little bit that this notion: you go to a wedding, you're up down, every person. They don't stand up for the flower girls yet. I haven't seen that. But just about everyone else, they stand up for. And I want to understand what that's about. But before that, he started with that discussion. There's something much more profound and I think practical in sources, which is, has anyone been to a wedding in Israel recently? Nobody. I mean, not recently. 50 years. What's the major difference between a wedding in Eretz Yisrael, besides cost? What's the major difference between a wedding in Eretz Yisrael and a wedding in here in America? Yeah, so Russell said the answer. I was looking for, though, the other answer correct also. In the chuppah in Eretz Yisrael, everyone stands up for the chuppah. I'm not saying every single wedding ever in Eretz Yisrael, but generally, the weddings in Eretz Yisrael, everyone stands up. And in America, the only people who stand up are people who came in late or people who want to talk on the side. We sit. We have halls with dozens of rows of chairs. And the question is, why the difference? So it's interesting that so many sources indicate they're actually supposed to stand for the chuppah. You take a look in the first source. is the Sefer Ha'Elef Lecha Shlomo. It's the Tshuvas of Rav Shlomo Kluger. Shlomo Kluger lived in Glitziana, 1785 to 1869. He was actually the Rebbe of the Beis Halevi, to put some perspective. So he writes, Matsasi b'tikunei Zohar, I found the Tikunei Zohar, Tikun Yud, Shekol ha'olam chayavin la'amod im achasam v'kala, kishmevarchin sheva brachos tachas ha'chupa. When there's a sheva brachos under the chuppah, the seven brachos after the kiddushin, everyone has to stand. V'osilahem leishev b'shasa brachos. Not only do you have to stand, or I don't know if not only, but it's two sides of the same coin, there's an issur, there's a prohibition to sit. U'bevadai roi lachos l'dvarav divrei elokim chayim. Certainly, it's worthwhile, it's fitting to be careful for his words. Around 150, 200 years earlier, the Sefer Knesset HaGedolah, which is our Bichia ben Yisrael Bevinsant, I don't know exactly how to pronounce it, writing in Spain, I believe it was Spain, maybe not, early 1600s, he writes as follows, Minag Kustantindandina, the Eretz Hamarav, in the West, the minog is lamod kol ha'am b'shas pirchas chasanim sheva brachos. The minog is for everyone to stand during sheva brachos. Why? Why would you stand? Why do you have to stand? The year of time, the reason is l'chvod ha'chasan v'akala. Dehem omdim. The chasan and kala are standing, so it's an honor to show honor and respect that you stand with them. Why? V'achasan doma l'melech. We're going to try to develop this a little bit later. V'chasan doma l'melech. It's actually found in the Brisa. The chasan is like the king. And we know that a king, we stand for the king. The king is the highest honor in Klal Yisrael. Melech shemachal al kvodo in kvodo machal. A king who can't forego on his honor. A Talmud Chacham could. A Nasi could. It's machlokes we pass. A Talmud Chacham could. A Nasi could. A father could forego his honor. Melech, a king, can't forego his honor. He says, Vishamati is fascinating. De bishaluniki. If anyone knows that town, let me know.
Salonika.
Salonika. Okay, maybe we'll have a shul trip there one day. Lo nagu lamud araglam b'shas birchas sheva brachos. The minhag there was not to stand. V'lo yadati lama. I don't know why. He couldn't understand. He couldn't fathom that there are people who were sitting during the chuppah.
It was Sparta, though.
Salonika
was Sparta.
Yes. V'ani bivoi leilo makomos. But Elef HaChashlomo was in Galicia. The ani bivoi leilo makomos. When I came to these places, matsasi aminok kmo nogin Saloniki. I'm pronouncing that wrong, probably. I'm sorry. They hinhagti esatzmi lakum, and I started to stand. So what happens when you see a big Talmud Chacham stand? The gam koam omdim sham birosam shani kam tiraglai. Him gam kain alam ben. When they saw me stand, seven of us started to stand. And he goes on to say that there were Talmidei Chachamim there who weren't real Talmidei Chachamim. They didn't know what they were doing. They sat and they made fun that we were standing. And he says they don't know what they're talking about. He says it's pashut that one needs to stand during the Sheva Brachos. And in fact, the Be'er Heitev, who's a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch in Evan Ezer in Source 3, writes, U'mechuyav la'amod kol ha'omdim sham araglayim b'shas berchas Sheva Brachos. The Be'er Heitev, a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, says everyone has to stand. And that is Minhag Eretz Yisrael. Yet here, has anyone been to maybe about a chassidim, they get married outside, there aren't chairs set up. But every wedding I've been, I always sit. And I've seen many, many, many Talmidei Chachamim sitting at chuppahs. So what's the story? So they asked this question to Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky. Take a look in Source 4. On the second line, they quote, Shasha'al ha'sagon Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, now it's Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Ma shenogu b'chutz la'aretz, La'aruch kisaos, chairs, shuros, rows of chairs, leishev elei m'shas chuppah. They asked him, what's going on? Why do they do that in chutz la'aretz? V'kasa la'gon Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, shu minog shaloka hogan. It's incorrect. Shetzarech she'amodu, anim tzayim, m'shas chuppah. They need to sit. Sorry, they need to stand. Unless they're sitting far away. And then he says, the asher al yashiv. Take a look, two lines from the bottom. Hagon Rabbi Yosef Shalom al yashiv shlita. Kishishalu also odos haminag b'chutz laretz l'shevetz b'shas chuppah. When they asked him about this minag to sit during the chuppah and chutz laretz, who heishiv, he answered, sha'af al pi she'ein zeh minag nachon, it's not right, it's wrong, avamayacher she'em nogin kach ein tzarech l'mchos. You don't have to yell, you don't have to scream. Some things are worth a fight, it's not worth a fight, that's what they do. So why do we not do that? So I did a lot of research. I only saw one possible rationale, and I'm not sure how strong it is. If you flip the page, there's a sefer called Sha'arim Mitzuyanim Be'halach. We've quoted that before. Rav Shlomo Zalman Braun, or Brown, I don't know exactly how to pronounce it, who lived in America. I think he came to America right before the war, right after the war, a contemporary of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He passed away in 1994. There's a beautiful sefer on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch where he goes through a lot of contemporary issues, minhagim, and addresses them. And he writes, Ube'ulme hachasnos, the wedding halls, nogin kol am leishev, the minhag is to sit. He says, what's the story? So he's a very creative pshat. He says, the chuppah has poles. Right? The chuppah has four poles. Maybe those four poles create a reshus b'fnei atzmo. It makes the chuppah into its own domain. So even though they're under the chasan and kala are there during the shav brachos, they're standing. You only have to stand with them if you're in the same room, so to speak. If you're in the same domain, in the same reshus. But if it's a reshus b'fnei atzmo, if it's its own domain, then you don't have to stand. He says, what's that like? The halacha is people don't notice. It's a big misconception. When the Torah is in the Aron Kodesh, even if the Aron is open, you really don't have to stand. It's a nice thing to do. It's Derech Eretz. When the Torah is out, you have to stand. But when the Torah is in the Aron Kodesh, even when you see it, you don't have to stand. Why don't you have to stand? Because it's in its own reshus. That's not, if it's open in your room with you, you have to stand. That's not called that it's in your room. It's in its own reshus, the Aron Kodesh. Now, granted, that's a little different because there's walls. But he says we can utilize some of the halachas of sukkahs for what makes a wall. And since there are four poles, that's considered its own reshus. And maybe that's why you don't have to stand. Compelling? I'm not sure. It's a little different than Aron Kodesh where it's a real wall. That's the only limud zechus, the only rationale I found to explain why we do this in America. So I called the big Talmud Chacham, big posek, a close chaver of mine, Rav Moshe Walter in Silver Spring, Maryland, and I asked him, so maybe when we go to weddings now, I should stand. You don't have to sit. There are people standing on the side. There are people standing in the back. Doesn't mean you have to talk. We shouldn't talk. Anyways, we shouldn't talk during chuppahs, but maybe I should stand. It seems to be that's the right thing. So he says, but that's not what's done. Every wedding you go to, you see, well, not every wedding, there's dozens of Talmid Chachamim, but every wedding you go to, the Talmid Chachamim are sitting. So it must be that it's not in the Shulchan Aruch. It's based on Chasam Domer LaMelech. Is that a halacha, Chasam Domer LaMelech? We'll learn about that in a little bit. But maybe, for whatever reason, the minhag developed in America to go and change what everyone's doing might even be like a mechzi kiyura. It could look a little arrogant that it's good enough for all these talmid chachamim, all the rabbis who are getting all the kibbutim are sitting, and I'm going to be the one that's too firm standing on the side.
But even standing for the chasan and kala as they do today is still an innovation.
We'll get there. That's the next part. You're saying if it's its own reshus, then you don't have ten people at the chuppah. Okay. Okay, if you see it.
What about early weddings like Rav Moshe and that? What did they do then?
I don't know. I don't know when this started in America. But Rav Braun is writing along. I mean, he passed away in 1994. So I don't know when the sefer was written. So that's one point which I thought was interesting. Now, what about this business of standing for the chasan and kala? Why do we now? The grandparents, it makes sense because it might make sense. The halacha is, it's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. It's actually a pasuk in the Torah. It's a chiyuv d'oraisa to stand up for mipnei seva takum adar to pnei zaken. The Shulchan Aruch says 70. The Gra, I think, quotes the Zohar, who says 60, I think it's the Gra of the Zohar, says 60, 70 years old stand, most, not always, but most of the time, grandparents who walk down are 70 years old. Now, even then, it's not so pashut you have to stand, because the chiyuv to stand in front of a zaken is only if you're within Dalet Amos. So if you're sitting in the first two seats, you know, the closest to the aisle, then, okay, but that already, it's a mitzvah deraisa to stand for a zaken, it makes sense. Why do we stand for the chasan and kal? And most of you are going to say, because everyone else is standing. Huh? So chasan dom lamelech. Oh, so some want to say, chasan dom lamelech. Now, if the chasan is the melech, then the kala is the malka. So maybe you'll tell me, chasan dom lamelech. A chasan is like the king, and we know that we stand for the king. So the Orchos Chaim, who's a Rishon, in source number 6, he's not talking about on the way to the wedding. On the way to the chuppah. He quotes this Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. If you look in the fourth line, Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer is a set of brises. It's Masechta Ketana. Well, I don't know, Masechta Ketana, but it's a set of brises. He says, A chasan dom lamelech. Mahamelech, Hakol Mekalsin or so, the king everyone praises. Kacha chasin, we praise the chasin. Mahamelech, Eno Yotzi L'shuk Levado. Kacha chasin is an isser, a chasin and kala, to be alone during Shavuot Brachos. They need someone to accompany them. If a chasin has to go, or a kala has to go to an appointment, or has to go, if the chasin's gonna go to shul, whether he should or shouldn't is a different conversation, he has to go with someone. A king never goes alone. Mahamelech, Simcha, Mishta, Lefanov. There's a simcha mishta. There's always a party by the chasan, by the melech. Kacha chasan, kol shivishmei mishta. On and on and on. And then he says, Al Kain, it's the second line from the bottom. Nogu b'chol makom osenu, she'omdim ha'am ha'raglayam b'shah shumahalik b'darech. We stand up whenever we see the chasan. That's referring to when? During Shavuot Brachos. Whenever we see the chasan walking, we stand up like we stand up for the king. We stand up, we make the brachas, when it gets an aliyah, we stand up, he's a chasan. So maybe you'll tell me that when the chasan's walking down the aisle, he's a king, and we stand for a king. So what's the difficulty with that shot, Larry?
You can't even get married yet.
No, if you stand for the chasan, of course you stand for the... The king has a queen, right? If the chasan's don lamelech, the kala is don lamalka. What? Tell that to your wife. No. He's not a king. He's not a chassan yet.
He didn't get married yet.
Right. So Moshe Feinstein makes that point. They asked, Bacher says to Moshe Feinstein, we should stand up for a chassan because chassan don't want a melech. He said, no, he's not a melech. Afterwards, he's a melech. So when the chassan and kala are dancing to the yichud room after the chuppah, we do stand up then. It's also because they're usually grabbing your chair so they can set up for the meal. But then the chasan and kala, melech malka, beautiful. But on the way, they're nothing yet. They don't even have 1 second. They don't even have kiddushin yet. They're not even, there's no halachic significance. They did the tanayim, fine. According to one opinion, badekin is the nisum. They're nothing. So, yeah? Yaakov? We do. Well, you're saying that we don't say tachum. Chasan. Okay. He has a status of a chasan, and there's already a simcha, but that doesn't mean he's a melech yet. I'll give you an example. We don't say tachnun on Erev, right? We don't say tachnun on the mincha Erev Yontif. Because the Erev of the Yontif already has an element of the Kiddusha. So maybe, right? Maybe the reason we don't say Tachnun on the day of, because it's Erev being, it's the day of the coronation. He's not yet coronated. That's where Moshe says. So why do we stand? So a lot of people don't. And there are people who argue strongly. You don't. There was a while when I learned this and I felt very strong that we should not stand. And it only lasted one wedding because just the eyes and the looks. I know it says Lo Saguru Mipnei Ish, and you should be strong, but I the comments, the looks, it's everyone's doing something, you know. So why do we stand? Anyone have another shot?
I believe I heard a take from Robert Frank on this. I think he said that they're on the way to go mitzvah.
on the way to do a mitzvah. What mitzvah? It's a mitzvah to get married? Okay. We stand for anyone who's doing mitzvah? What am I doing right now? I'm learning. Why don't you stand? Okay, so it's not crazy because Rav Moshe Feinstein says this and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says this. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says as follows. He has an unbelievable shot. We're going to learn there's an idea of standing up in front of someone going to do a mitzvah. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky actually says that why do we stand in davening for Vayavarech David? As Yashir we stand, as Shiras Hayam. Why do we stand for Vayavarech David? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, because the minhag was to give tzedaka during Vayavarech David. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this when we say, what do we say? Wealth is yours. So the minhag was to give tzedaka. So because people are giving tzedaka, everyone would stand up for the person who's giving tzedaka. So says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, based on that, that's why we stand up at a wedding, because the chassan, and Rav Moshe says the same thing also, that the chassan and kala are going to do a mitzvah. They're going to do a mitzvah. And since they're going to do a mitzvah, we stand up for those who are going to do a mitzvah. That's Rav Moshe in source 7, and Rav Yaakov in source 8, we're not going to read inside. That's how they understand. But it's not so simple.
How about Shema Brachos at the end of the wedding? I mean, should be standing for that, considering at that point they already know the
mom. Because the chas and kala don't stand. You definitely don't have to stand for someone who is sitting for what they're doing. That's part of benching. Benching is supposed to be done sitting down. So it's not so simple though. It's not simple. If you take a look at source 9, this is the source for standing for those who do a mitzvah. It's a Mishnah on Bikurim. The Mishnah is telling us, and I have the English here underneath in source number 9. The Mishnah is telling us that what happens when they would bring the first fruits, Bikurim was meant to bring the first fruits, they'd bring it to Yerushalayim. And the Mishnah tells us that they would put it in baskets, and it was a whole production. When they got close to Yerushalayim, they would send messengers. Everyone would come out. If you take a look in the middle of the third line, Hasaganim, the Hagizbarim, the chiefs, the treasurers, Yotzin, Likrasim, Lefi Kavod, and Anachnasim. Yotzin Likrasim, sorry, they would go out to greet them. Lefi Kavod, and Anachnasim, Yotzin, the Chol Bale, Omnius, Yerushalayim, Omdim, Lefneim. All the workers, all the skilled artisans in Yerushalayim would stand up in front of the people who were bringing their Bikurim. And that's a Chiddush, because the Gemara tells us that those who are working don't have to stand up for a Talmud Chacham while they're working. They're involved in work, it's going to distract them, it causes bita malacha. We take people's work time very seriously. Those of us who work should take that time seriously. You don't have to stand for a Talmud Chacham, but you stand for a person who's going to do the mitzvah. The Mevi Bikurim, we're bringing a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim. There's a separate mitzvah called Mevi Bikurim. It's a mitzvah to bring the fruits. When they saw these people, wow, a person is doing a mitzvah, they would stand up. And says the Bar Tanura, in source number 11, the classic Perush on the Mishnah, in the second line, Mikomakon Yechayavin Lamo, they would be obligated to stand, Mipnei Mevi'e Bikurim. For those who are bringing the Bikurim, the Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita, it's so special, so precious, someone who's doing a mitzvah. Umitam Zeh, based on this, what are other applications? Omdim Ibnei Nosei Hamita Shehameisba. If you see them carrying the coffin, the dead body at a funeral, sometimes you'll be at a funeral and the body's there, in a coffin, in Eretz Yisrael, even not in a coffin, when they start to carry the body out of, let's say, the room where they're having the eulogies, and they start to bring it to the hearse, or to bury, everyone stands up. Why do we stand up for that? Because they're going to do a mitzvah. And, they no say atinok lebris mila. When the kvater, the people bringing in the baby into the bris, they yell out kvater, and usually people are standing there anyways, because davening is over, and they're schmoozing, but we should stand. And comes along the Perush in Source 12, which we'll do outside, the Tosos Ansei Shem, and he says it's not comparable at all. Those who are bringing the Bikurim, that is the mitzvah. What mitzvah is there to bring the baby to the milah? That's a mitzvah? What mitzvah is that? It's a hechsher mitzvah. It's a necessary step. You can't do the mitzvah without having to bring the baby. But that's not, there's no mitzvah to bring the baby. If the baby was sitting right there in the hospital and didn't move anywhere, there'd still be a mitzvah of milah. So he says, what's the comparison? The maybe bikurin are doing the mitzvah. But the other cases, they're not doing a mitzvah. So if that's true, what about a wedding? What's the mitzvah? Is there a mitzvah to get married? So it's a big machlokes. It's a machlokes in the Rishonim, whether kiddushin, marriage, is a mitzvah, an independent mitzvah, or it might just be a hechsher mitzvah, a preparatory mitzvah to the ideal, which is peruvu, to have children. So if kiddushin isn't an independent mitzvah, it's only a hechsher mitzvah for the peruvu, so then why are we standing for the chasen and kala? It's a strong question. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein says it, and Rav Yaakov Kamensky says it, so they clearly weren't bothered by this question. But it's a very strong question to compare this to the Mevi Bikurim or the Tzedaka. Those are mitzvahs. It's a mitzvah to give Tzedaka. It's a mitzvah to bring Bikurim. There might not be a mitzvah to get married. It might be a Hechsher mitzvah. So all of these explanations, both Chasen Dom and Lamelech, and we're standing up because the chasen and kala are going to a mitzvah, are not so simple. Ultimately, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says that's the minhag. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says that's the minhag. And probably the most compelling is that everyone else is doing it. And you don't want to stick out like a sore thumb and have people... Like, there's no isser to stand up, right? There's no isser to stand up.
I have an idea now. Now I think it's all coming together. So we know in Eretz Yisrael we stand for chasen, but here we go.
Right.
It's a mitzvah to live in Eretz. So if a couple's getting married in Israel, presumably they're going to live in Israel.
Okay.
To live there. So maybe we're thinking ahead, so this couple's not going to live in Israel, that is a mitzvah. So we're standing for the mitzvah in America, there's no mitzvah to live in America.
So it's like a tefillah to make aliyah. Interesting. Creative. Evan, do you want us to be standing up?
I actually, the one thing
I do differently, to be honest with you, and people were looking at me, both for the grandparents and the chasen and kala, I wait until they're within Dalet Amos. Because for grandparents, there's only a mitzvah to stand up when they're within Dalet Amos. So I kind of look, peek, and wait until they're close, and then stand up. But I'm not saying anyone else should do that, but that's what I do. No announcements. You ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Whatever Rabbi Lubin does, just follow him. Now, this idea of a chassan is like a king, I want to try to understand a little better. I'm having some trouble understanding. There's a lot of manifestations of this halacha. Svarim say that the reason the kala circles the chassan under the chuppah, there are a lot of reasons, we're not going to get into all of them tonight, but some say the reason is because the chasan is Dom HaLomelech, and the soldiers, not that the wife is a soldier, but the soldiers of the king, those who are close to the king, surround him. That's part of the process. There are those who say that's why we have a chasan tish, and that's why there's Kabbalah's panim. Why does the kala sit there on this fancy chair, and just sit there like a queen, honestly, that's what she's doing. And that's exactly why. Because she's a malka. And the chassan, yeah, this how old is Alex? 23? The 24-year-old guy, you know, who, you know, he has a job. This is a bad example. Let's take him. A 22-year-old guy who's still like in college. He's never worked a day. He never worked a day in his life. He just, you know, started shaving for his roof, and he's sitting there, and he's sitting at the head of the table. It's absurd, right? You say the head of the table. There's grandparents, there's elderly, there's rabbanim, and he's sitting there like a king. That's exactly the pshat. In the Sefer Minhag Yisrael Torah, in Source 15, he says that's exactly why there's something called Kabbalah's Panim. Jesse, when you're sitting there, it's because you're the Malka. And Alex the Melech, he's Mahamish like a king. I saw in a Sefer, this is unbelievable, Sefer Nitei Gavriel, which is a contemporary Rav Posek in Brooklyn. He has a Hasidish Sefer, brings in all Minhagim. He quotes Agon HaTzadik, the Makova, Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Vracha, who told the Chassanim that on the Shabbos before their Chasna, their Ufruf, they should learn the Rambam Hilchos Malachim. Rambam Hilchos Malachim are the halachas of a melech, because the Chassan's becoming a melech. He quotes the Minhag that you should give tzedakah on the day of your wedding. Why? What does the king do? The king gives out money. So too, the Chassan, the Kala, I'm assuming the Kala also should make an effort to give tzedakah because of Chassan, Dome, Lamelech. You have all these halachas of Chassan, Dome, Lamelech, and I'm having a hard time understanding in what way is the Chassan, Dome, Lamelech. Why is it like a king? A king is like the highest position that we have. In some degrees, even stronger than a Talmud Chacham, stronger than a Nasi. A Chassan and a Kala, a very important day, they're becoming part of the king's army, so to speak. They're going to enter and start a family, and Mirtz Hashem continue the rich legacy we have. But in what way is it like a king? A king can do whatever they want. A king can take over property and build roads, and there's a discussion about who he can kill. Why is a chassan like a melech? Now, I know the manifestations are what a chassan does and what a kala does because chassan don't want a melech, but how is a chassan like a melech? I don't have a good explanation. I've been thinking about it. I'm speaking to friends. With all the people or the things to compare the chassan to, why a melech? And I don't know if anyone has an insight or can think about it and share with me your thoughts. I'd love to understand a little bit more in what way a chassan is dome lamelech. Anyone have any initial thoughts?
Why is it people
ask chassan to come to the Exactly. Why? Because a king can get out whatever he wants. Yeah, the koach tefillah is unbelievable. Like a melech. A melech can do whatever they want to do. A melech could, like that, pardon. He could take over property. The melech has the yecholas, the ability to do whatever he wants. So, chassan and kala, like a melech. We're going to see at the end, the Baal Simcha also has that ability. Evan, you'll see. You'll see. So I don't know. If someone has a pshat over time, you could please let me know. I want to take the last few minutes we have and talk about, also very interesting, the minhag, the custom, because it's not halacha, of walking the chassan and kala down the aisle.
You mentioned before the bride goes around the chassan. You didn't say why he said it in time.
Yeah, that's probably because of was it Yericho or the wall coming down, and seven times we say on Rosh Hashanah. Lamatzeach when they call out seven times. There'll be more parts to this series. While we walk down the chassan and kala, where did that come from? What? Excellent. It's interesting. It's not really talked about anywhere. There's no din. It's brought up, we'll see, backhanded by Ramban Hilchos Avelos. But where does this come from? So there's a Gemara in Brachos in the Samach Alfam Beis, source 18, the top of page 7. You have it in English as well. Quoting the pasuk by Adam and Chava, the Gemara says, "Vayevieha el ha'adam." They brought Chava to Adam. Amar B'Yirmiya ben Elazar, Milami, this teaches us, Shenash Seh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shoshvin L'Adam HaRishon. What's a Shoshvin? Shoshvinin? Literally, it's a friend, an attendant, a helper. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Adam's helper. There are many Gemaras that talk about the concept of Shoshvinon. Gemara in Kesuvos talks about how the night before the Chassan and Kal got married, each had a set of Shoshvinin, friends, attendants. It's a minute today to have a shomer, right? That comes from Shoshvinin. The Gemara in Sukkah tells us that not only is the Chassan Pater from Sukkah, but the Shoshvinin in source 21. The Shoshvinin are Pater in Sukkah. That's referring to the Chassan and Kal each have people, attendants, friends. So all you see, Larry, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu became a Shoshvin to Adam HaRishon, became his wedding friend, became his wedding helper. We don't see anything about walking down. Where did that come from? Fact there are early sources that seem to connote and indicate that it was only an Ashkenazi minhag, and that hundreds of years ago the Sephardim did not do that. Now, I spoke to a bunch of Sephardi friends. All the Sephardim do this now also. So where does it come from? So there's a Zohar. The Zohar in Source 22, quoting that same pasuk in the Gemara, Mehacha ulifna, from here we learn, Deban Abba v'ima dekala la'ela birshusei dechassan. The mother and father of the Kala should bring her to the Rishus of the Chassan. So now you see a first source in a Zohar that mother and father bring the Kala to the Chassan. And I guess, presumably, the father and mother of the Chassan, you're not really bringing him to the Kala. The Kala comes to the Chassan. But you have to say that the same way, I guess this is one of the times where men fought for equal rights. I don't know. The same way that the mother and father bring the Kala, the mother and father bring the Chassan. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Avelos. The Shulchan Aruch is talking about what an Avel is allowed to go to at the wedding. And this is beyond the scope of this year. Can an Avel go to the Chuppah? Is that okay? Can obviously can't be there for the dancing. Can he be there for the Chuppah? So in the end of that Shulchan Aruch, in Source 23, the Rama writes, V'chein yuchal ahaknes chasan, an Avel can bring in the chasan, Zohar only said Kala, the Shulchan Aruch says chasan, kiderech artseinu, like in our places, sheshnei anoshim machnisin achasan tachas achupa. Two men. Who are the two men? Who are the two men? Yeah, so in a lot of places has had the minhag that the two fathers walk down the chasan, and the two mothers, if there are two mothers and two fathers, walk down. What? What? It's been in Yerushalayim? You married off a child in Yerushalayim?
Yes.
And that's what you did?
So
fascinating. It sounds from this Shulchan Aruch that you do it that way. In Source 24, there's a sefer called Minhag Avosein Yadenu, which is an incredible work, and he points out that the Minhag Lita, in the second paragraph, was like the Zohar. The Minhag Lita was like the Zohar, that's mother-father of the Chassan, mother-father of the Kala, and that was the Minhag of Karlin Stalin, it's a sect of Chassidim. And he says, Minhag Poland, Galiciana, Hungary, Chabad, the Minhag was the two fathers walk down the chasan, and the two mothers walk down the kala. Now that's all fine and good, but what happens if you have a mixed marriage? Let's say you have a Litvish guy who's marrying a Chabad girl. Let's say you have a Hungarian, a Satmar chassid, marrying a girl from Karlin Stalin. So what do you do?
Husband walks down the other way.
Fight about it? I mean, probably that's what would happen. What should he do? So they asked this question to Rav Uzner, the Shevet HaLevi. We have Mishpacha here. And he said it's like the worst thing in the world for mother and father to walk down the chasan and mother and father to walk down the kala. It's a terrible minhag. It's chukas hagayim. It's horrible. And you should not be, that's not something worth being mavat. Certain things are worth being mavat there. Right? That's maybe how nice the flowers are is worth being with. That's not worth being with out there. On the flip side, if you turn the page over, Tshuva the Bear Moshe, the Deber Chin Rav, he quotes that he had this exact case where the Kala had one minhag and the Chassan had another minhag, and they asked him what to do. And he went to the Satmar Rebbe, the Divrei Yoel, and he said that if their minhag really is like ours is, for the mother and father to walk down, they're not doing it because it's modern, it's new, it's different. That's really their minhag. He says, absolutely, that's what we should be done. And the bottom line is, aval haknis atzman l'machlokes b'chei ha'gavna eino kedai v'chacham einav barosho l'pashem. To fight about that, we're talking about minhagim. We're talking about something that's not even so clear why it's being done. It's certainly not worth the fight if the minhag is, Now, he doesn't say which side should be mevater. Usually what happens is, it's not worth the fight, so give in to me. And the other side says, yeah, it's not worth the fight, so just give in to me. But it says the Sama Rebbe, it's not worth the fight. I want to close, very interesting, what's the deeper Havana behind this? The depth of the matter of the parents walking down the Chasen and Kal. So I saw something very beautiful. We're trying to, the goal for the Chasen and Kala is to become one, to reach the Madrega of Panim El Panim, that relationship. In order to do that, they have to come back to who they really are. They have to know themselves. They have to go back to the source of their neshama. Where do they come from? They come from their parents. And their parents, that parents. So as they're leaving their parents' house and starting a new life, where they're going to forge that relationship, Be'ezrat Hashem, with the Chasen and the Chasen with the Kala, know where you came from, know the strengths of your side, and then once you recognize who you are, what you are, where you came from, and he recognizes that, we become true and honest and real with ourselves, we're able to reach that beautiful Madrega, which I thought that was a very nice shot, and that's something that Chasen and Kala, who's listening to this, can take home with them. I said I was going to close, but I have one more minute. In Source 28, I saw amazing Evan. This is incredible. The Sefer Tanya Minhagim, he says, why are they called a Baal Simcha? Evan's going to be the Baal Simcha in a couple weeks. Why? What's the Baal Simcha? A Baal is an owner, right? A Baal Lashon Hara, someone who just owns Lashon Hara. Why is he called the Baal Simcha? Anyone, so I was making a bris. Who's the Baal Simcha? Why Baal Simcha? So he says the reason is Shehu Bekocho Leos Adon Ubal Al Kol Davar Simcha. You become the owner on all matters of Simcha. Litein LaAcherim Hashpaos Tovos. You can give to others all types of influence and blessings. The Baal Simcha, he owns Simcha. An owner can do what he wants with it. An owner can take what he or she wants and give it to whomever they want. The person making the wedding becomes the Baal Simcha. He owns Simcha. He could dispense it to whoever he wants. And he quotes in here, unbelievable. He quotes from Shlomo Karlin. He says in the where there's a three stars, Misha Yizakeu Hashem Yisparach Lasos Eze Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Anyone who Kosh Baruch Hu blesses with the merit to make a Simcha, Kagon Bris Mila, Onisu and Labana, the Chadome, or marriage of their children, as post Chilo Kol HaYecholas, everything is open for him. He can fulfill all of his desires and achieve and attain everything that he wants. Someone who holds back. To not take advantage of that. Is a big sin. The Baal Simcha, you own it. Give it out. And he goes on and on. He says, segula for parnasa, which is interesting because after you make a wedding, you need the segula for parnasa. But it's a segula for parnasa. And he says, in the last line, and Evan, this is for you, he quotes the Admor Rav Tzadok Kosh, mi Elsak, Elasak, I don't know where that is. Shemar Shem Sadikim, Shekasher Adam, Ose Ezen Yisun Labanov, Niftach Lo Shar Chadash, he's a new gate. Umish Yesho Seichel, Ose Laatzma Gamkein Malbush Chadash. You should make a new clothing. I think what he means, because you're a new person. You're the Baal Simcha. You own the Simcha. You could dispense that Simcha, and you should dish out that Simcha. So we should all be Zocha to make Simchas, become a Baal Simcha, and dispense that Simcha. And Zechus the learning, we should celebrate Simchas together for many years to come. Have a good night.